Blog Talk Radio.
I'm
All right. Peace and blessings. Welcome to the Hottest Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. My name is Vernon Muhammad. Welcome to 2014. This is the first show of the year. We have one planned. We have a powerhouse show planned. We are waiting on the arrival of the Young Wealth Builders team. This is the crew of young entrepreneurs who are all about financial literacy and knowing that you're at the start of a brand new year and everybody's in the mode of making resolutions or new decisions, new commitments, whatever you want to call it. It's the beginning of something, and traditionally it's a good idea and a good practice to set new intentions and make sure that we're going to come across with goals in mind and come across with an idea of what we want to accomplish this year. And of course, here at No Romance Without Finance, we know that getting our personal finances and our group and cooperative economics in order is the name of the game. So everything that we're doing is going to focus on that, and I hope that you all are ready to make some moves with this year. Last year, we talked quite a bit about alternative economy. We talked about the need for actually forming a community. So if you realize that you're out there on your own by yourself, there are things that you need and you can't get. Well, the people that are around you who make up your community are supposed to fill in those gaps or all the things somebody can afford it for you. That's how life is supposed to work. And there are plenty of examples of that. If you go around the country, as a matter of fact, if you either hit up Google or hit up YouTube and put in Time Bank or Time Banking, you'll see that in cities all across America, groups of people as small as 100, as large as a few thousand, are organizing themselves so that they can activate these time banks. What is a time bank? I guess we'll start with that. Must be something big coming up in 2014, you know, time bank. So I guess y'all are going to stay tuned so you can find out what works, so you can make sure that you're playing your part. A time bank is an arrangement between members where the currency of exchange is time. Okay, you know, if you need something done, you're going to have to pay for it. If you want your lawn taken care of, you're going to do it yourself, or you're going to pay somebody to do it for you. If you have a car to get fixed, you're going to take the mechanic. Most likely, he or she is going to charge you. You're going to have to pay out of pocket unless you can fix it yourself. But both of those things at a premium, you know, you don't have the time or sometimes know-how to do it yourself. And in many cases, what you're going to be charged is way more than what you want to pay. So you don't have money to do what you want to do or do what you need to do. Well, the time bank is the solution to that. When you have a community of people, all of whom have talents and skills and abilities to offer, then they all pool those resources. Just like you would put $5 or $10 into the bank, they all offer those resources for a certain amount of time, get a certain amount of credit that time to put in the bank. And when you need some help, when you need something from someone else, people in the community who also have put time in the bank or have benefited from making a withdrawal of time from the bank, you know, you can call on them and they can help to give him time or give her time to work on their project. So, for example, if you needed your backyard leaves raked, bagged, and all, you know, take it away to wherever you take the leaves away to, then maybe I'd help you out for a couple of hours or however long it takes to get the job done. Then later on down the line, if we have a small group, it's just you and I, when I need help, you help me out with something for a couple of hours. Or if it's a large group, sometimes you can just put those hours in the bank. When you need help, anybody can help you out. Count and it's time that they've withdrawn, they want to pay back to the bank. So that's one idea of alternative economy that I would love to see the listeners of No Romance Without Finance start to implement So all it is really is barter and exchange. Okay, we have to find a way to free ourselves up and be so dependent on this dollar or currency, markets, and the way things go. But we're in a position now where we don't benefit from the movements and changes in currencies and markets. So really, in a victim status, you know, we have to suffer the consequences. Whatever happens to us, we got to put ourselves in a position where we are almost impervious to what's going on around the market, kind of, which that, there are loads of groups and communities that have already done. Think about it. Every time you see a Chinatown, you see people who organize themselves into a unit that will protect itself from change in the economy. Outside market. They have internal and their self-sustaining community. Okay, Little Italy, you know, everybody in that community takes care of the people in that community. They, very little bit people outside their community for. We know as black people, you make a into Little Italy, get some whatever you do, or visit a famous restaurant at a certain time, or you know, get out a little bit because it ain't the town. There's a certain period of time when you know, going to Chinatown and sightsee, do the tourist thing, but at the end of the day, you got to go. You know, it's set up, you come, spend your money, and get out what you've done. You know, it's set up for the benefit of Chinese people, Chinatown, Chinese people. Well, we, black people in our communities, need to create and establish that type of thing. Yeah, you go to YouTube, hit time bank, do a search for time bank, see exactly what is taking place in different parts of the country. So, with that in mind, one of the commitments that we're making this year, one of the plans that person I have on the table and that some other people have on the table that I've talked to approach the end of 2013 is to clean up our financial picture, put ourselves in the best personal financial status that we can be in, so that when it comes time larger groups that we belong to, when it comes time to raise the status and statues of black people all across America, we're in a better position to do that. Okay? Broke people really can't help nobody. It's good that we can all, you know, sound the rallying cry, cry out for justice, raise our voice in protest. But at the beginning of 2014, we've got to look back and look at all the different ways that we protested and, you know, expressed our dissatisfaction with the way things are going and realize what does not work. For instance, we'll take the whole issue with the Trayvon Martin trial. Everybody's familiar with this point. That last year, there was a big news coverage that went on for a few weeks where the murderer of Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman, was on trial. He tried for the murder of Trayvon Martin, which he was killed in 2012. In 2013, went through a long, lengthy trial, and turned out they found him not guilty. They charged him with whatever they charged him with. And the whole step of the way, from the beginning of it, the moment that he was, you know, not convicted in a timely manner, not charged in a timely manner, on through to when they finally did file charges against him. Filed the wrong charge and tried to, you know, went through all their testimony, right? And at the end of it all, he was found not guilty. From the very beginning of that ordeal, it was kind of bad. The only thing black people could do was change other profile pictures on Facebook or Twitter or wherever, and blacked it out. And called for boycotts, although I don't know anybody going to Florida or drinking Florida orange juice. Well, we didn't already have plans for the, you know, I don't know what came of that call for justice, other than the fact that we were angry. He said we were angry. There's a lot of news and publicity about co-workers, how much money they donated to the Center of the Child. Interesting, and again, you know, kind of sad that more money, more people were able to economically and financially back George Zimmerman with his legal defense fund than did the family of Trayvon Martin with their legal defense fund. That's unfortunate, and that's something that in 2014 we've got to get beyond. We've got to put ourselves in a better position than just being reactionary. Okay, so part of the plan for 2014 is to put ourselves in a better position. How do we do it? All right, we're going to get to that later on in the show. The young wealth still have not shown up, waiting on their fearless leader, Brandy Alexander, make her appearance, so hopefully we'll have their team come on. But in the meantime, we'll talk about some of the strategies we mentioned over the course of 2013. All the time, making cash flow, talking about alternative kind of nature. Hopefully we can lay down the groundwork, lay down some tracks so that anybody who hears this broadcast can pick it up and begin to implement some of these strategies for personal life. Okay. Those of you who've been long-time listeners of the show, you know that I'm a big fan of Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And over the course of 2013, had a few episodes we were actually live on the air playing the game, Cash. And if you don't update that, we're about to kick off 2014 Catch the Tournament. They have an online game that they have revamped. So used to the old Cash Flow 101 and Cash Flow 202 online games. You know, there was a lot of interesting system, good, and impactful as the game. Well, there seemed to be a lot of things that just, you know, made it difficult to play. I'm happy to inform you that they have revamped the site. Looks totally different. They changed some of the features. It's a whole lot more stable now. I actually have the game up. So if there's anybody who wants to join in and play online live while we're here, there's a game session. You can create a call, romance, password, find it. So log in to Cash. Dad.com. If you click on the apps and games section, then you click on the cash flow classic. That'll pull up the new board game, new board for the game. It's great. It's got all the information on the financial seat. It's the same. So it teaches you how to recognize the difference between assets and liabilities and how to move yourself from wherever your current position. You may have little income, you may have high income, but the goal of the game is build your passive income so that it meets or exceeds your total expenses. Once you can build up the passive income more than your total expenses, then you're out of the red, you're financially free. And on the side of your job, in addition to your job, to replace your job, bring in more money than your expenses, you are actually free. You don't have to get up and go work for anybody else. You just place where you have income coming in to take care of you, your family, eat. That should be a goal to all take on. There are many ways to do that over the course of this year. We're definitely going to be highlighting some of those things that make sense for us to look at least, and to really move on and take action on it, get into our own personal lives. So yeah, Game Cash Flow, I hope that you all get familiar with it. Come on. I'm anxious to have this romance later on in the year. Get your practice. I got going on. In addition to that, the Black Trading Gods are going to be busy, I believe, next week. So my good brother, Kill Trader Matic Muhammad, coined the phrase last year, offset imbalance consumerism. You think about all the places where we go to spend money, all of the institutions, stores, merchants that we support, brands that we buy. None of the common places that we all go to are black owned. How many of y'all love to have your venti vanilla latte and your scone? We all go to Starbucks or, some place like that. But I can bet you 9 times out of 10 that the place that we go to frequently isn't black owned. We all go and buy our sneakers from Walmart, Target, or Sneaker City, or Foot Locker, or wherever we go. But guess what? Those aren't black-owned. The brands aren't black-owned. Maybe you buy Jordan sneakers, but I guarantee you that Jordan's company might be an underwriter of Nike. Maybe Jensen. I don't know. I'll tell you this much. All that wealth that we are spending on Jordan sneakers definitely ain't coming back to the black community. I can guarantee you that Jumpman 21 to Nike to Adidas, Puma, whatever brand you're loyal to, chances are more likely than not, it's not going back to support our community. So we keep ourselves in a position where somebody else benefits, somebody else is rip pimping us. We're like a big battery. Everybody else just plugs in and sucks all of our juice out. So we got to turn that around. We got to find out how we can put ourselves in a position to benefit and profit from all these transactions that we're part of, all these places where we spend our money. Instead of just going to Starbucks and buying Starbucks coffee on the daily like you do with your, whatever else you get from you, why not trade the movement in Starbucks so that when Starbucks gains, you profit. When Starbucks loses, you profit. Put yourself in the right position to learn how to put yourself in the right position so that you can benefit from these activities that really take place all around the world almost every day of the year. I think every day that we can't do anything, can't find anything taking place. Might be Saturday. Markets all around the world close on Saturday. Sunday, Saturday here, Sunday somewhere else. You can't do anything but from Monday morning till Friday evening. None but transactions taking place all over the world that we can put ourselves in a position to benefit from if we just learn how to do it. Knowledge is power, and ignorance is not bliss. So we can't afford to make excuses or make inaccurate statements about any of these ideas that would be put on the tape in 2014. We don't have the luxury of being wrong or of not being an idiot. You have to find out bottom line of all these opportunities and then take action and make sure that we're in the best position possible to be. Getting real and more real, as Claude Anderson said, by 2014, black people don't do something to create some economic power base for ourselves, then we're going to end up being permanent underclass in America. And think back on 2013 and see all the areas where we suffered injustice. Black people all over America were suffering the injustice, crime in our communities, unemployment, police brutality. You think about all the things that didn't go right for black people, and all the times when we were in a position where all we could do is continue. There was even a point where, the right to vote was threatened. There was actually a conversation that went on over whether or not, you know, the idea to give black people the right to vote would continue. I mean, that's almost unthinkable. And in 2013, we were still in a position where someone else could decide our fate like that. And so many of us still didn't wake up and realize the game that's being played to go to the Kingonomics conference that took place in early August, the beginning program that celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Martin Luther King Jr. Speech, I Have a Dream, that was done at the March of Washington before they just got together, you know, to celebrate the fact that they had a march. There was actually a group of people that came together and realized that at the end of Martin Luther King's life, he was really focused on economically empowering black people, being a dream of white boys and black girls holding hands to actually bringing in economic equality and social justice. That's when he became a threat. So this conference, Kingonomics conference, was all about black people putting ourselves in position to take advantage of the economic opportunities that are opening up and across America. And in various places of the world, we actually got into international trade conference. Okay. How many people paid attention to that? So many people paid attention to the speeches that were done on the Washington Memorial. The drummers from Grenada or Guyana, wherever they were from, somewhere in the Caribbean, did beautiful performance. But, you know, if all we can do is get together and dance and play our music and have our gospel choirs come up and, you know, people just get on there and make speeches about what was. We got to do better than that. You're not going to survive. So the Kingonomics conference was focusing on where the rubber meets the road and actually saying the romance about life. You want to improve life, but unless you talk about economics, it's not going to happen. So we want to make sure we incorporate more of that in 2014. I'm not sure if the Young Wealth Builder is going to be showing up. I haven't heard from the leader of the group yet, and we were in conversation a little bit before the show, but something happened, and can't find them now, so I'm going to reach out to them again. I'm going to take a break. Almost at the top of the hour. When we come back, I'm going to get into phase two of the show, and hopefully they'll join us then. So stick around, stay around, don't you go away. I'm going to recap a little bit more of 2013 and set the tone again for 2014. So it's No Romance About Finance show, and I want y'all to hold on for just a minute. I'm going to reach out to Young Wealth Builder. All right, welcome back. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Vernon Muhammad, and you are tuned into the flagship show, the beginning show of 2014. I would love to hear from you about what you have in mind, what's your plan, for 2014. Made a lot of good connections in 2013. Hooked up with Ms. Shanita Homage Parker from Black Exchange 360. They are operating out of Kansas City, Kansas. And they are doing wonderful work in terms of uniting and putting together some of the feedback that my sound is really choppy. Hold on, let me see if I can fix that and improve what's going on MIC. Hold on a second. Yeah.
All right. Hopefully that is a little better than before. Test out my sound quality here. Give me one second. All right. I changed my microphone, and hopefully this will come in a little bit better. If y'all are in the chat room, then give me some feedback and let me know how that's doing. But we made some connections in 2014, 2013, and we want to build on those connections this year. Looks like we're getting into some international trade, as those of you who have been listening to the Time and What Must Be Done lecture series might know. We're looking at going to Jamaica soon. So there are going to be some wonderful things that come out of that later on in the year. So I hope y'all are getting ready. I hope everybody has got their mind right and has their understanding of international trade and commerce correct. That's the pledge that we took back in 1995 at the Million Man March. One of the things we said we would do is work to build hospitals and schools and businesses and factories, and we would enter into international trade and commerce for the benefit of ourselves and our families and our people. So it's been a long time coming. Here we are what is it, 1995, 2014. That's going on 15 years. Is that right? No, that's going on almost 20 years. Wow, that's been a long time. But we are we have to make good on those pledges, make good on those promises, and actually get ourselves in that vein, you know, to make that a reality. I just got feedback that said my mic sound nice, check one. So we're doing a whole lot better with this. I think we're going to stick with this. But I want to hear from some of you who are listening. We got quite a few people in the chat room. We got quite a few people who are dialed in. If you're on the line and you want to join the conversation, press 1 on your phone and I'll bring you into the conversation. But also if you're listening and you want to call in, the number to dial in on is 646-716-5971. There was a 4 or 5 point plan that the Young Wealth Builders have for putting ourselves in the best financial position we can be. Their approach to attacking financial literacy evolves around eliminating debt, putting ourselves in the best tax position that we can possibly be in, eliminating excess spending with a master budget plan, and creating more cash flow. Now, to me, that sounds like a good plan for 2014. So I'm anxious to hear from some of you whether you would like to incorporate those things and what else you may want to incorporate to make sure that your 2014 financial picture looks better than it did in 2013. So call in and let me know that you want to join the conversation. As it relates to eliminating debt, one of the biggest things that I learned last year came through a documentary that I had to watch for a class, a course that I took with the Black Trading Gods. and the name of the documentary was The Money Masters, and it talked about how particularly the U.S. economy, but economies of nations all around the world have been manipulated and subverted by central bankers. In just about every major country, there's a central bank. And that central bank, even though it may seem like it's a government entity, is actually a private group of international bankers that control the economy of just about any nation. There's a central bank of China. The U.S. has a central bank. It's the Federal Reserve. Sounds like it's something related to the government, but totally separate private financial institution that the U.S. government borrows money from. So when they talk about the national debt, the majority of that is owed to the central bank. That's something that a lot of people don't know. But debt, eliminating debt, because of what the central banks have done over time, a lot of people don't realize and don't know that at the drop of a hat, those who control the central bank can actually turn the screws or flip the switch, and everything that you owe money on can be stripped from you. It can happen. It has happened several times before. Go all the way back to the Great Depression, 1929. When the stock market crashed in 1929, it was a result of manipulation in the market and what the central bank was able to do. Turn the screws, flip the switch, and then you had all of these people who owed money to the bank for land, who had businesses that had been financed on, every one of them all of a sudden owed back all the money they borrowed. So imagine you have a house with a mortgage of $200,000, $300,000, $500,000, and you know you're making mortgage payments every month. You might be paying a few thousand dollars each month. All of a sudden, you get a letter in the mail that says your loan has been called due, and you owe the whole balance of your loan. So if you got your house last year and you paid your $3,000 a month and your $500,000 house, you can subtract $36,000, and you know, in within 30 days, you need to pay us the rest, $464,000. Can you imagine getting a letter in the mail like that? Your home thought you owned, but you owe on, you got to pay us all of it, or else we're going to come and take your home. Well, that happened all across America. People were committing suicide and jumping out of windows and just totally giving up on life because they had lost it all. Farmers had their farms taken. Businesses were shut down and closed, and America went into a depression. Unemployment became sky high. There were people who just could not make it unless the government put some kind of other program in place that would take care of them. But all that was a result of debt that the U.S. government ran up and put themselves in a position to be victimized by private bankers. Well, each one of us individually is doing that same thing. Imagine all the things that you are buying on credit for this, all the things that you could just take the time and save up for, but instead it's easier to just put it on plastic. It's easier to swipe the card and pay it later. We have to get that out of our lives and out of our thinking. Eliminating debt has got to be high on the list for everybody who's listening to No Romance Without Finance. We're going to kick you out the club if you think it's okay to just carry debt like that. Debt is slavery, and the sooner you can get yourself unshackled, the better. We got a caller on the line that I want to hear from. It's a strange number coming in. It just says 01661 is crazy. It starts with a zero. So I'm going to open up your microphone, and if you're calling from Skype or wherever you're calling from, your mic is open. You're on the air. Who's this?
Peace to the black trading guy.
Peace, black trading god. Uh-oh, this sounds like my brother.
What's going on, Big V?
Trader Matic, all is well, my brother. How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'll pay you due to a lot. Listening to your show.
Good stuff.
Talking about trade.
No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. This year we're going to hit hard and heavy with the idea of educating people into what trading is, because I can't get that term that you coined, offset the imbalance of consumerism. I love that, man. All of these brands that we are loyal to and places that we buy from, they don't love us. They're not doing that for our community. They're just sucking money out of us. So we got to take a strategy that's going to allow us to profit from all that money that we're spending.
We got to quit being so damn scary, you know, when it comes to this, because we every day invest in these companies through consumerism. That's all we do. Like, you can't, no matter what you spew out your mouth, I can go in your house and find something that you are investing in that's Caucasian with, and you do it proudly, and you're making no return on investment, whether it's your electricity, whether it's the water you piping in into your house, mortgage, your car payment, the food you eat, the clothes you buy, the computer you sitting on, the software you using, the big squatching. Show me one thing that you are investing in this Caucasian. He taking your money and everything that you got in your house, no matter how expensive it is depreciating in value the moment you pay for it. Black people ain't investing in art typically, so show me something that you purchased from him that is appreciating value. It's usually nothing. So he comes out win-win. He got some money, and he gave you a nice fancy toy. No matter how much it tickles or fancy, it's depreciating in value. You can't sell it on the market for what you bought it for. If you can, you have to put extra into it. You know what I mean? If you had a car and you bought it, you had to soup it up. But that's, you had to expend money and hoping to get money. And generally, that depreciates in value. But we so damn scary when it comes to this. It's really fear, man. Like, you're fearful to even learn a knowledge to help offset your consumerism. And if you don't do that, you're just a slave. Regardless of what you say your level of knowledge is, you're still a slave. Point blank. You're the best Muslim, best 5%er, best slave, just with knowledge. That's that one key component they still have a grip on, which is economic, which is dependency on providing things that we need. So therefore, you have to go to them. You ain't producing nothing. We ain't producing nothing together, no, in the least bit. So you have to offset that consumption. We too scared. 2014 got to be let go of fear real quick, man. Because we ain't got us nowhere but just loyal slaves with big screen TVs and nice cars and homes we don't own. We don't own it. I was listening to you what you said on mortgages, but we don't own that. Some finance company do. You paying extra on it in interest. Like, they got this game rigged around economics, and they got it. They're very smart. Like, you got to give it to them. I can't even be mad at how they go about doing what they do. But we have to be enlightened to see that, though, and balance it. If you help them, if you help by purchasing things you use and you like to make them rich, help them make them rich, then you need to share in the profit. See, black people don't even think that way. We just so scary. We'd rather go work a job to make kibbles and bits. If you make $18 an hour or $20 an hour, you really think that's big money? Like, I make $20 an hour. Nothing, fam. Look at what the person you're working for is making. $20 an hour is embarrassment. That's like not even, you ain't put on the earth to make $20 and $25 an hour, but they got you content like that. Then if they give you $2 raise, in a title, we accomplished something. That's nothing.
You think we made it to the promised land?
That's,
you know,
that
reminds me. Somebody put up on Facebook. I saw where somebody was publicizing the whole idea that this brother decided that he would go and flip burgers to feed his family and his three children, and everybody was like, on that, celebrating that, like that's what a real man would do. that's not, I mean, that's like, what is minimum wage in some places? It's still like $7.25.
Right. I posted that. You know what I mean? That's
I've seen that in quite a few other people, you know, shared that and put that back up there like, yeah, this is great. You know, that's a real man. But that's, you know, we got to get ourselves out of the position and out of the mindset of being bottom feeders. That's what that really is. If you take McDonald's, if you take the prime company that has a job where people flip burgers, I mean, they were on the hook in 2013 because their employees can't afford to live anywhere. They got employees who are homeless, employees who don't have health insurance. They're telling them to get on welfare. Employees who, you know, they're just not meeting their needs. And the people who own, the people who run McDonald's, the corporate execs, they don't care. They're not even interested in improving the situation for their workers. So that's not an example that we should be proud about or happy about. That should be considered not succeeding. That should be considered failing. If you have to only do that when there are other options, that means you've given up on the game. You refuse to try to learn something new or something better. And you said, well, you know, the best I can do is go and give 8 hours of my time and my energy to flip burgers, and all I'm going to get from it is $7.25. We can't be satisfied with that anymore. Nah.
What kind of food are you putting on the table anyway at $7.25 if McDonald's own workers, that published report came out saying they can't support them on, their own workers can't support themselves? Like, that's an insult. It's subtle. It sounds empowering. Right? It sounds empowering. Like, yeah, a real man will flip burgers to feed his family. Like, what is he putting on the table? Ramen noodles? Because he can't survive off $7.25. Like, you know what I mean? And why so subtly take the suggestion that a real man, his scope of thinking is limited, saying, I got to go flip a burger. I must flip a burger in order to put food on the table. So you just accepted being a slave, and you just accepted the continuation of a cycle. More than likely, your children are going to grow up to do what you do or see what you do, and if they break out of that cycle, then great, all praise you to Allah. But more than likely, they're going to flip burgers. And then 30 years from now, you say, well, I worked my way up to management. Well, that's cool too, man. Like, but is that all you – is that what you set for yourself? Is that what you, Allah puts you here on this planet for, to be a manager at McDonald's? I mean, come on, man. That was an insult when I saw that. Like, come on, man. I saw, like, thousands of likes and shares. Like, come on, really? This is an insult. Just think about what they're telling you. Why not a real man would learn how to trade live cattle of all these burger shops? The people that's flipping burger, I'm going to go trade the cattle. You make far more than you would ever make flipping the burger, trading live cattle. $1 move trading live cattle is $400 in profit. If the live cattle is $136 a share and it went to $137 a share and you have one contract of live cattle, that means that $1 that looks just like a $1 move is actually $400 profit. Imagine if you had a $10 move, a $15 move, and you had 10 contracts. Like, that's, I'm going to trade the live cattle. On top of that, trading the live cattle of what McDonald's is going to go buy, I don't have to take the profits. I could take the live cattle. When I'm trading a future of cattle, I control. One contract controls 40,000 pounds of cattle. That means I'm controlling, if a cow is 700-800 pounds, I'm roughly controlling 28 to 35 cattle, just depending on the weight. Real live cattle that they'll bring to me. I got to pay for shipping and delivery. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with it where I'm at, you know what I mean? But you could control that. Sell the cattle to some farmers or whatnot. See, that trading allows you to exponentially create wealth. And that's where the world creates wealth. And everyone in the world who participates in the market is creating wealth except us. We the only ones. We rather work. We've been conditioned to be a slave that if you bring us anything that helps the free financially, we fight against it. Subconsciously, we fight against it because we have been conditioned to only believe we must serve the Caucasian in that capacity to make a livelihood, this false dream of, well, I'm making $18, I'm making $25, I'm the director of assistant mop handlers, and I have a title, and, you know, I just got this raise, and I'm working for 2 weeks vacation, I just got this bonus, all meager, and compared to the people that you work for. They're rich, they're wealthy, they move the world. You, on the other hand, is expendable. When you are no longer needed, you'll be the first fired, last hired. You instinctively know this. Black people instinctively know this. Sometimes I look at my news feed, I see a lot of people celebrate getting new jobs, and that's cool, but why celebrate? You know you're the first fired soon. This Caucasian don't have enough jobs to even support his own people, let alone anyone else, and he most definitely going to let you go. You instinctively know this. It's my belief that black people have an intuitive sensor in them when they know they're about to be fired. You just get this feeling. You hoping your boss don't call you in on Friday at 4 p.m. because you know he about to let you go. Then you're unemployed. Then you panicking. Then you spending most of your creative mind and your time putting in resumes on LinkedIn and Job Builder and Career Builder and all these other sites, hoping and begging that this man give you a job when you know there ain't none. And if you're a Muslim in a nation, you know this. You got too much knowledge from the Honorable Muhammad that tell you, hey, do for self or suffer. It's one or the other. You're either going to learn to do for yourself, you're either going to go through the pains of doing for yourself, or you will suffer the consequences at some point in time. Might as well start now.
Right.
Might as well learn all you can about finance. You know what I'm saying? Might as well learn how to trade
without
being afraid. Go ahead, family.
We got to get to the point where in 2014, we really got to get over that mindset, that defeated mindset. You brought up a good point. You know, people are satisfied with that ground floor, you know, last hired, first fired position, you know, the bottom rung. We get the lower we are on the ladder, the more content and satisfied we are. We got little jobs and may not even rise to the full capacity of the job. We just satisfied. That's got to change. That's got to change because we're losing ground, actually losing ground and slipping backwards in that position. And it's to the point, I highlighted the point that in 2013, even the right to be a citizen in America, the right to vote, was in question and under attack in 2013. I mean, the fact that we can even be in that position just means we have no strength, no power. Everybody else doesn't even have to worry about this. It's not even an issue. But for some reason, the idea and the concept that black people in America, you know, we have to ask or beg or petition somebody else still for the right to vote, to participate fully in society. And the only reason or the only way that we can still be in that position is because we don't have no muscle, no strength behind ourselves. People who have to cry out and protest and, you know, express their rage and dissatisfaction, they don't have nothing else to do, so they just, that's all they can do, march in the middle of the street and make noise. Like children, you know, fall out and have a temper tantrum. The people united will never be defeated. Well, we ain't uniting to do anything, so nobody's looking to do anything for us, and we stay in that position, the bottom rung of the ladder, you know. So we got to get past and get through that mindset. People like yourself, people like the Black Trading Gods, the Young Wealth Builders, everybody who's on this tip of economic development, if we're going to make an impact and actually grow our numbers and spread this mentality among the people, what we're going to have to overcome is that whole, you know, less than fear mentality. It's a combination of being afraid to go above the level where we are. Why? I don't know. What is fear? I've been away from that fearful mindset for so long, I almost don't understand it anymore. There is nothing to be afraid of in trying to improve your life and your standard of living. I don't see where fear is in that. And we got to bust through the mindset of just being content and being satisfied with the illusion of what we got. You know, you talked about thinking that you own your home. Somebody, I can't remember who it was. He said, if you think you own your home, stop making payments on it, and somebody will come and let you know real quick who the real owner is.
Who the real owner is. Hey, therefore, you're on your grind, right, to be a slave, to keep working. Like, that's not what God intended for us, man. Just think about the people who are listening. Just think about how old you are right now, where are you in life, right? If you're 35, you're 30, you're 40, even if you're 25, you spent majority of your life probably working for the Caucasian, right? And if you're 40 and 50, is that how you want to live the rest of your days, working for the Caucasian in this false hope of retirement? If I get retired, man, I'm like, that's crazy, man. We should be able to go where we want to go at a drop of a dime, but we can't because of our economics. Just think about us as Muslims, right? We say a black man is God. We say it all day in cliches. But really, in truth, part of that, the potential and what the Christ said, the Almighty Muhammad said about it, is 1,000%. Look at it, though, in context. Your ability to be God is your ability to enforce your will to the extent that you can or cannot. And most of us can't bounce to Dubai if we wanted to tomorrow. Right, we need a month, a year to save up some dough to go where we need to. Well, your God powers ain't really that great if you can't enforce your will. You cannot even enforce your will to the extent of your bank account. If your bank account is on point and money, you're a millionaire, you're a billionaire, you can enforce your will with at ease. Think about it. But we can't, and so we do what you just said. We protest, which means really to dissent. Often in opposition to something, a person is powerless to prevent or avoid. I never got that. Looking at when you understand the definition of protest, you're powerless to change your condition. So you just yell, la, la, but the people that got the money, you protest, and they just say, okay, you know, let them do what they do for a few days. They die down. We keep going, right, because money moves things. We're powerless, man. So, you know,
now,
we need
check
to be
this
able,
out. You remember the whole Occupy. You remember the whole Occupy movement, right? Occupy Wall Street, and then it turned into the 1%, the 99%. They had the only thing that I can see that came out of that, and it might be small. You know, they're starting to make a dent. But, you know, there's a campaign out there to throw mud on this positive effort. A group of those Occupy 99 people came together, and just like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, look, pool your resources. There's strength in numbers, and 99% of your problems can be solved through unity. A group of them got together and formed an organization that does that. You know what they're doing now? They're going on the debt market. They're buying up secondary debt. You know how when bill collectors, you know, when somebody has an outstanding bill, basically they want to get out of that position as quickly as they can. You know, if they don't think they're going to get their money, they're willing to take a bit of a loss. So they go ahead and sell that debt. They'll say, okay, this person who owes us $10,000, they probably ain't going to pay us. So here, you know, give me $3,000 and I'll sign over the right to this lien to you, you know. Maybe it's $1,000, maybe it's $2,000, $3,000, whatever the case may be. You know, it's pennies on the dollar, it's low. And they'll sign that over to another entity, and then you get a notice in the mail from somebody you've never seen before saying that you owe money for some past account that you had. Okay? Well, these group of the Occupy Wall Street people, the 99%, have formed themselves into a small group, and they're going and they're buying some of this debt up off the market, and they're sending messages to the people that owe and said, your debt has been absolved. You don't owe. We are trying to kill debt and free up the people.
Oh, that's significant.
That's significant. You know, and of course there's a smear campaign, and, you know, anytime somebody's trying to do something good, you know, you got detractors and naysayers, they're doing this and, you know, it shouldn't be right, and they're trying to misuse the money, and, well, you know, all of that crap comes up. But at the end of the day, they are freeing people up. They're getting the monkey off of people's backs. And this whole piece about eliminate debt, owe no man, that has got to be first and foremost in our minds, because one of the biggest impediments that we have to financial freedom and economic progress is the stuff that we saddle ourselves with, the nonsense that we get ourselves wrapped up in. I mean, do you really need another big screen TV that is going to take you, what, 3 years to pay off? Just adding debt for no good reason.
No. You know, the Bible describes us as prodigal, you know, which means wasteful, right? We are wasteful people, prodigal people. Holy says God hates extravagance. That's using more than what you need, being wasteful. That's black people. Typically, we're like that, right? You don't need those things, man. And we gotta definitely learn how to quell our impulses when it comes to that, so we can handle wealth properly, right? Our Bible prophesies, in Genesis 15:13, you know, we're going to go through slavery, those of you familiar with that. But out of this, we come with great wealth and substance. We're primed for it. That's the reason why I'm like, you shouldn't even be working a job, because you're the chosen people of God. You're definitely... It should be how the Jews are to the rest of the world. That's how we. That's what we. Our position is in real life. So, but you got to work. But you could get it. You if you don't take no leaps, it's not gonna happen for you. But we should not be grinding like that. We will. This whole next year, brother V, it's got to be killing that fear in the rest of life. You should be ashamed of yourself if you are content with your job because you're fearful. Really think about fear. You on your job and you brag, I don't care how nice of a house, car you got, you're still a slave. You're still a slave. You should be ashamed, because Allah came to put us on top. And the rest of the world, he made, would be subservient to what we are and do. But we got to be first, right? Morally right, spiritually right, to be able to handle that type of wealth when we get it, so we're not prodigal. But that's what we already know. We're prodigal, very wasteful, extravagant people. So if you gave us wealth, like now, we'd probably go make Cadillac and spinners the largest profit margin they've ever had, because we go tend to go get stuff that don't depreciate in value and shiny and bling bling. We don't need none of that stuff. But if you want it, it's cool, as long as you know what I'm saying, you have the other stuff together. You should not want to be a slave in this next year, the next life. If you work in Walmart and cashier, you're doing whatever you got to do. I know how we tell ourselves, well, I got to pay bills. I always say, look, you got to pay the Caucasian. Take away bills and put the person, put a human being behind it. You owe that Caucasian. And if you don't, he's going to cut services. Just look at it that way. So you will go straight and do what's measly, what's meager, just enough to get by. Not enough to make you comfortable, but just enough to get by. So long as you have electricity and cable and you can go get some food, but you can't maneuver, you can't buy land, you can't go buy industry and have your money work for you, because he don't give you enough to do that. And if he do give you a little enough where you can do that, it's usually coupled with a degree where you think you're better. You know, I've made it. See, this is crazy, man. All right, this whole year, man, we got to help your show be the catalyst. Since it's no romance without finance, I think it's metamorphosizing to something else, man, besides no romance without finance. Like, it's huge, man. It's got to be the catalyst to help break the way we think, especially among Muslims. Dude, that's where I see a lot of the fear among those who are conscious every time. I see it all the time. You talking about going to Mars and telepathy, and I ask you, do you work for the Caucasian? That's all I want to know. And if you say yes, I ain't even trying to hear what you saw on Pluto or how you a lot showed you this and you was traveling on the base planes. I don't want to know none of that because you haven't even did the basis, which is freed yourself from working for the Caucasian. Like, that's, like, the major part. You know what I'm saying? None of that stuff is mute. In our lessons, right, it say we're the 5%, the poor righteous teachers, but it tells you about the 10% who are slave makers of the poor. The 10% is the actual slave makers of both the 5 and the 10 and the 85%. You know why? Because you work for them. You know what I'm saying? We have not freed ourselves from their dependence, man. If they decided to say, you know what, all y'all niggas is fired today, we'll be hurting. You know, because we ain't going through the growing pains of trying to do for ourselves. So it don't matter what level of knowledge you got, how many bow ties you can wear and headpieces you got, or how long you've been in the nation, none of that matters if you still work for the Caucasian in any capacity. I don't care if you're a doctor, you should be using that to get off. You should be, at some point, you should be developing something for your own. Like, you go get their knowledge. You go work for them for a while with a, what do you call it? A stillaway plan. That's what I don't hear a lot. I hear comfortability. I'm comfortable. When you know this boy is about to cut the leash, Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? And we're too afraid to learn how to trade. Where trading will offset that. The Muslim world trades, man. We look at them. I was looking at the University of Dubai, University in Dubai. They were showing the parking lot. The parking lot of the students was like Bentleys and Ferraris. And these are students. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, damn, I kind of want to go to that college just because they balling. And it's not only because the Muslim world is empowered because of what they did with the Holy Quran and whatnot. It's because they trade. They have Dow Islamic markets and Dow Islamic zones and NASDAQ that are Islamic. They trade. They trade oil. They trade the whole world. They get their money that way. We in the nation, we benefited from that trading through Muammar Gaddafi. I mean, he gave us money to get Mas Marianas. I mean, it's not like he saved up money and just loaned it to us. He gave us that money because he's on OPEC. He traded. When he wanted to back the nation with $1 billion in wealth after the Million Man March, because he traded money on the market.
A valuable asset. He had something of value to offer to the world, and that's something that we have to get ourselves in the mindset of thinking of. There are people all around the world that are in need of what we can produce and provide them with. They're waiting on us. El Salvador, Ecuador, Argentina, Cuba, Brazil, China, all these places are waiting for conscious Black people, get ourselves in motion, engage in the activity of life, and then take it to the rest of the world. The whole world is waiting on you, brother, sister. So stop making excuses. Get yourself, you know, out of the clouds. You know, what you said was so key, Brother Mikhail. After everything that the minister has been teaching on over the past 2 weeks in his Time and What Must Be Done lecture series, what did he end on? What did he make sure to bring everybody right back to? He spent almost an hour talking about the mother plane and UFOs, and then in the last 5-10 minutes, brought him right back to ground zero, Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want. After all that is said and done, after you science up, after you proselytize about how revolutionary and strong and, you know, we need to go to Africa and fix Africa. Right here, right now, where you are, there's a strong need for us to get together and pool our one nickel a day that would grow into a larger economic base to provide food, clothing, housing, industry, and jobs for ourselves. We must have land. So, you know, the resistance that people with knowledge have to learning and understanding knowledge, understanding financial literacy. It's almost like a sin nowadays. It should be considered, you know, sacrilege. It's like one of the biggest oxymorons that there possibly could be. How you want to be enlightened? How you want to have the knowledge of yourself and who you are and not try to put yourself in a position to be able to extract from the land and from this world all that you need for yourself, and then whatever surplus you end up with, use that to empower yourself by sharing that or offering that to the rest of the world. That's exactly what you're saying. The oil-producing nations, they weren't just over there, you know, happy and content that they had words to recite from the Quran. The Quran says, travel through the earth and seek Allah's bounty. You know, but when it's time, stop and remember your Lord. But when you finish remembering your Lord and serving and doing your devotion, then get to work. Get busy. Go out and trade. Usury is prohibited, but trade is permitted. So all
and
that is that we don't
and
know
it.
Right now, we got to take the time to learn. There's a couple of
learn
callers
it.
Online. I want to get to some of the callers that's online. We got one call from 301. Let me bring you in real quick. Open your mic up. 301-674. You're on the line. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Alaikum salam, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is Brother Eric. How you doing, Brother Marvin?
Hey, Brother Eric. Peace and blessings. I'm feeling good, brother. Thank you for calling in. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to what you guys were saying, and I mean, Allah has blessed me to be on both sides, you know. As, you know, Brother Vernon, we talked, I've been on the side of owning my own businesses as well as investing. But one comment I want to make in regards to the employment thing. I mean, we hear a lot of, you know, people, especially Muslims, not so much criticized, but seem to throw the accusations of working for a living. And because we don't really control a lot of the job market as far as creating jobs, we have to go to white people to get jobs. And the reason I'm defending this is because that's how I was able to buy my business and be in business, was from the money that I received from working, paying my bills on time, creating a credit file that would allow me to get money, and then borrowing the money to buy a business. Now, I believe when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote on how to get a job and keep a job, there were reasons behind that. I think one was so that you could feed your family. The second one was to pay charity. And with that charity, he would create a market or create a environment where we could leave the job and now go and work for ourselves. But in the meantime, give you that jolt of enthusiasm and love for self to where even if you're working for somebody and donating to the charity and the nation is building businesses, it gives you so much of a spirit that you want to go out and do it yourself. So I think we need to not so much throw the rock and hide the hand, but we need to educate people on how to use the job to get away from the job in ways of creating a financial foundation on how we can move from working for somebody into the investment market, into owning your own business, and then creating a job market where we can hire our people. I hear it all the time. Not because I haven't had a job and not because of anything else, but, you know, it's like, you know, working this job, working that job, working for the white man, this, that, and the other. And to me, I think it shouldn't be a disgrace to have a job, and even if it's with white people. I just believe we need to be educated in how to better use the money that we temporarily receive for our better benefit. Now, I know families right now who work a job, make a great living, and they own businesses at the same time. They work and they have businesses. But their household is ran on a 20-80 scale. 20% they live on, 80% they invest. And, I mean, you could say to them, well, why are you still working? I mean, I don't know the answer to that, but that's the way they run their household. And when my situation was better, because it's not as good as it was, my household was ran on a 60-40. We invested 60 and we lived off of 40 as we were trying to move to the 80-20. But I'm saying, I mean, I understand everything you guys are saying, and I'm not saying that the audience that may be listening don't understand, but I think there has to be a better way of using that particular avenue of mind, the way we think about that, into bettering our situation, because we do have over $1 trillion of somebody working somewhere going through our system, and we're not capturing any of it. We're basically capturing less than 1%. So it's kind of like, even though we're saying the job, the white man, the job, we're not figuring out a way to capture it, and we're not figuring out a way to get the small guy who works at McDonald's at the $8 or the $10 an hour to figure out a way on how to use a small percentage of that money to invest. And, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to say, but, you know, I understand both sides. But I think others who may listen may take serious offense that, oh, I work a job, yeah, my boss is white, but this is the way I feed my family, this is the way I keep a roof over my head, and this is the way I put clothes on my back. You know, and I think it would become very offensive to tell somebody that it's not so much wrong, but you need to be doing better, when nobody has really came to show them on how to do better. So, you know, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, brother Eric. I appreciate that. I think you raised a good point, and you actually touched on something that Brother McHale said. I think that I agree with you 100% that to every brother, every sister, everybody who's out there doing what you have to do to make do for your family, you know, that is much better, that is infinite number of times better than laying down and just giving up, ducking out, being a deadbeat dad, you know, abandoning your family, whatever the case may be, and just not doing nothing. There is no dishonor in earning an honest living. But the issue that we're raising, or, you know, what we're trying to put on the table and the mindset that we're trying to change, is making sure that we don't get comfortable and stop right there, you know. So the things that are being put on the table now with the guests that were supposed to be on, the young wealth builders, they were going to talk about using the job that you're currently working and what moves to make to put yourself in a better position so that you can free up some of your income to invest or to put yourself in a better position to eliminate debt, to, you know, whatever it is you have to do to create more cash flow, whatever it is you have to do, you got to start from somewhere. So if your starting point is working for McDonald's, if your starting point is the job that you currently have now, there's going to be some other pieces and components that you have to add to the equation. So I definitely agree with you. You know, you can't, of course, I've heard it all along too, you know, how you going to work for whoever else and not do something for yourself. Well, everybody has to start somewhere. Everybody has at one point or another had a J-O-B, a job working for somebody. But you got to be somewhere to learn how business is done, how, you know, that world operates, so that when you can do it for yourself, you have something to draw on. But we want to get people to the point where they're moving toward doing it for themselves, because right now the position that we are all in is if we're dependent on somebody else for a job and we're not doing more, we're not going above and beyond in the interest of ourselves and our people, when the plug is pulled, if you lose that job, what are you, 1 week, 2 week, maybe a month away from your family actually suffering? So we got to put something else on the table. Long-range planning is the minister putting Muhammad's economic blueprint on the table. In a year, if everybody does what they're supposed to do, which really isn't much, it's 5 cents a day. If everybody, every black wage earner in America puts 5 cents a day into a national treasury, then at the end of a year's time, we would have $291 million that we can use to buy land and begin to generate industry and create food, clothing, shelter, industry, and jobs for ourselves and all of the black people who are unemployed across America. We can change that reality if we go above and beyond the comfort level of being on the J-O-B. You know, that's a long-range plan, though, if 16 million of us come together to do it. In the meantime and in the interim, we at least got to start thinking about what we can do individually and what we can do in small groups. That's where people like the Young Wealth Builders, that's where people like the Black Trading Gods come in, and that's where people who are entrepreneurs or enlightened people like yourself, Brother Eric, come through. We got to generate this conversation more and more and more and make this the norm in our culture, inside the nation, inside various black organizations and throughout black America, period. Because people just, you know, aren't getting it. How many people are home now not being engaged in a conversation like this, but all wrapped up in the NFL? Every viewer of the NFL makes the NFL money, brings money to the NFL, but none of that is coming back to our community. So we're watching millionaires and multimillionaires get richer on TV, and then the people that who aren't on the field, the people who are up in the skybox and whatnot, they're getting even richer than the players because they're the owners of the team. And all while we sit back on the couch and, you know, pop our nachos and whatnot, and, yeah, oh, they scored a touchdown. You know, but if we're content with that, if we're satisfied with that Sunday after Sunday and Monday night after Monday night, then 2014 is not going to end on a good note for us.
Yes, sir.
So I think that I love what you said, and I'm glad that you said it, because the judgmental people who want to put somebody down for doing what they have to do to take care of their responsibility, sometimes I feel like slapping those people for real. You know, how are you going to make somebody else feel bad because they're doing what they have to do for themselves and for their situation? But at the same point in time, I want to inspire people to do more, because if it wasn't for George Washington Carver deciding that he would go and do more than the norm, if it wasn't for Booker T. Washington deciding that he would go and do more, if it wasn't for so many of the great people that we have throughout our history and in our community not just being satisfied and content with being able to scrounge out a living and, you know, eke out an existence, then where would we be? You know, not even just talking about the civil rights movement and whether or not we actually did have the right to vote or not, you know, that we already know that's in jeopardy. But progress, real progress and real strength is added when we add this economic and financial component to the equation. And it's got to go beyond just working the 9 to 5.
And Brother Vernon, could I add one other thing? Could I say one other thing?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
One thing, you know, with your show that's very, very, very positive is information. And I think, you know, and maybe it'll eventually at some point be my goal, is we need to implement financial literacy. You know, if you know, one thing that helped me was somebody pulled me to the side and educated me, you know, my spending habits. And they asked me, they said, what do you want to be in 10 years? What do you want to be in 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? You know, and of course, you know, with the big mind that I have, I said, I want to be a billionaire. I want to be a millionaire. And the person who helped me along to help me open my first business said, you got to start now. And where you start at is taking 10% or 5% out of every check, every dollar of what bills you owe, and put it up for yourself. And I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but he told me about the three jars, the savings, the charity, and the investing. And he said, put something away for yourself. And people normally don't buy the pay yourself first because they don't make that much. But the reason they don't buy it is because they don't see any other way. If I pay myself, how am I going to pay the light bill? If I pay myself, how am I going to pay this? But what I was taught was the reason you pay yourself is not so much that you're going to take the money and go buy a Cadillac Escalade. It's forming habits. It's forming monetary habits that will allow you to make other arrangements to handle other situations without affecting your own personal gain through saving and taking away from some other bill. But if we're not educated in that or learning that, then basically we go by the old saying that, you know, we need to pay the light man, we need to pay the car man, the mortgage man, and all these other people. But because we can sacrifice, we don't have to pay ourselves. So we alleviate, you know, just forget all about ourselves. But when we lose that job or we can't work anymore, we don't have anything to fall back on. So we have to learn and be educated on how to use our money, because money is just a tool. And because we don't know how to use that tool, we fall victim to everybody that's holding up a silver trinket or a nice vehicle or this big, you know, 26-bedroom house, and we fail to look at the bigger picture, and that is, how do I pay for this when there's nothing, when I don't have a job anymore? If there's no job, how do I pay for all this? You know, and that's the question we never ask going into anything, buying a car, buying a house, buying anything. And I've grown to the habit myself of, before I buy anything, I count to 10. I count to 10, see if I really, really need it. If I can get to 10 and I still need it, I buy it. And if I can't buy it, I'll lay it away. I'll lay it away. But I'm not going to go into debt. I'm not going to pay anything on a credit card. And I'm not going to force myself to buy it by taking on two or three jobs. I said, I'm going to see it. Okay, do I need it? Yes, no, maybe I want it. I'll count to 10. And if that's still, that desire is still there, after I count to 10, then I'll get it. But if it's not there, I walk away. And that has saved me, I can't even tell you, thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars over years, because I just groomed myself to say, if it's not a need or something that I can readily afford without affecting anything else, I don't want it. But, you know, I appreciate the time, man, and you know, keep going, brother, because this is something we need, man. This is something we seriously need.
No doubt about it. I thank you for saying what you said, man. I'm hoping that by the end of 2014, we can have 100 brothers and sisters that can end this year saying, I didn't create any new debt, any new bills. What I did was eliminate debt, pay down bills, and create streams of income that can now go toward paying the bills that I have, that can offset the balance of consumerism, like Brother Mikhail says. I put different pieces in place that can put me ahead of the game. And the idea, and the, you know, just talking about paying yourself first, saving, living below your means, taking off what you know you're going to need for a rainy day off the top, put that over to the side, and then make sure that if you ever had to get out of town by sundown, or, you know, if the half the house burns up in the fire, you don't have to just, you know, be stuck out in the street hoping that somebody will take you in. You know, you want to have enough to sustain yourself and your family, come what may. So by the end of 2014, the No Romance Without Finance family, we're going to be on a mission. We're going to start this together. We're going to put some real solid framework to what we hope everybody will begin to implement as their plan of action for 2014. We're getting down to the end of the show. I want to thank you all for joining me, brothers. I really appreciate y'all calling in like we did. We had a team of guests that were lined up, and they went missing in action. So we'll see what happened with that. But y'all step right up and step right in, and I certainly appreciate that. Coming up and later on in the year, in subsequent shows, we're definitely going to get this cash flow challenge kicked off. Y'all both are invited back. So if you haven't done it yet, go visit richdad.com and check out the cash flow game, because what I want to do is have some enlightened brothers and sisters come on. And during the show, we're actually going to be playing this game on financial literacy, which is going to teach us about how to recognize the difference between assets and liabilities and how to go about the steps and strategies of getting ourselves out of the rat race and getting ourselves financially free. What kind of game is that, huh?
That's what we're going to do next week. We're planning on having the Black Trading Gods of the Simple Trend Trading System on the air with us. We've had some phenomenal successes in 2014. 2013, and we want to let you know what the outcome is of the people who took the time to learn what trading is and how to incorporate it into our wealth building strategy. So next weekend, the Black Trading Gods, Brother Mikhail, I think he's going to be back to represent with us, and we're going to have a few more from the Circle of Gods, so don't miss that. And we got a whole bunch of other good shows lined up. So that's the end of the No Romance Without Finance show for today. I appreciate y'all tuning in and listening.
Please spread the word, share the link, let others hear this show, and join me back right here again next week. Take care of yourselves. Peace and blessings.
Amazed, and I want to spend the rest of my day.